was really magical. The number of people shocked everybody. Estimates range from probably 15 to 32. Seems like it was really close to 30,000. We expected 500 to 1,000. Police told us, well, leave the estimate to us. And then they called us and said, it's going to be much bigger than you think. It was announced in the media. And then that day, the weather was supposed to be raining and icky, yucky, and people did not know. They were calling me asking, what if it rains? Should we do it? So, yeah, we're going to do it no matter what. And the weather was actually perfect, overcast a little bit, sometimes sunny. It rained for 5 minutes. We were going down a certain route through from the old town to the parliament. Didn't want to use the streets, we used the sidewalks just to not to inconvenience drivers to any great extent. But people were joyous. They were singing, families with kids and young people, all retirees, retired people, people who actually, of all ages, those who have jobs, students. And the best of all, it was a positive atmosphere. And almost everybody commented how they never could even imagine that something like that could happen in Bosnia. So positive energy, peaceful walks, not a single incident, no new cluster of COVID-19 diseases, cases. Police were magnificent. There were three levels of police control, the canton, the entity, the country. I was afraid somebody would throw a stone into a window, shop window or something, and nothing, not from us, but from those who would infiltrate our ranks just to cause trouble. But maybe because of that police force that was really in force, it was beautiful. And we were really, we are thankful. Even though later, thankful to the police, later on we found out that some of those who approved the peaceful march were actually sanctioned for allowing us to do that. And despite all of that, or in spite of all of that, they proceeded and saw it through and gave us advice throughout the whole time how to behave to keep it safe and for the benefit, to keep it safe for the benefit of those who walked as well as passers-by or drivers or whatever. Toward the end, as we were approaching the parliament, the day before the peaceful march, we got a note from the parliament. Not a note, actually phone call, and they told us that they gave us verbal no to our request to use the space in front of the parliament for us to stop there for 15 minutes so that I can read the statement. Mm-hmm. They didn't let us do that. Police, because of the conditions due to coronavirus, and that we couldn't organize a protest because it didn't allow a large congregation of people, larger group of people to be formed in one place, we had to keep moving. So it was really hard to make a statement, to give a talk. And I started to the first group as they approached. And then as I was getting close to the end of the speech, they cut the electricity off so I couldn't finish. But anyway, it was just marvelous. It was one of those moments where you, when you realize that you will always know where you were on March 30, on May 30th, 2020. I was special. And then after that, I invited everybody to go to the National Museum. That is almost like a symbol of statehood for Bosnia and Herzegovina. But it is struggling financially, does not have enough support from the government. At some point in the past, they had to shut it down, and they are in danger of doing it again. So we invited all of them, everybody, to go there, buy the ticket, and a little bit alleviate the problem a little bit. So it was really magical, magical. And the whole protest walk. What happened afterwards was not so really happy. What we noticed, you know, you go home and you talk to people and you expect to be at the center of the media, and that's all they will talk about. Then when we came home, we listened to the news, and then we noticed that the representatives or leaders of the opposition parties who actually came to, with their presence at the beginning, support the peaceful march, for which I was grateful, I realized that the whole thing was being cast in the media as if that was the protest walk of the opposition. And what I read in the end was the protest of the opposition, protest letter, protest demands of the opposition. And I'm, what? Then that night, I was also invited to the national to the TV, national TV. There was a talk show, probably number one rated talk show in the country. And the two of the four opposition leaders who actually came to the beginning of the protest to express their verbal support, they were already there, and they told me that all four of them would be there, but two couldn't make it, and they asked me if I could do it as well. I didn't like it. I said, they want to talk about protest work. Why is it that they're talking to other people and not the ones who organize it? But I went there anyway, not to let them talk about the talk, talk about the protest work as if it's
their idea
was theirs, right? I wanted to at least a little bit control the situation, but it was not controllable. The host wanted to represent this as a big coalition, the new coalition that was just formed, and as a power to the opposition. And those two guys made some statements that I was really horrified by. The guy said, we will continue protests and we will take the government down by a peaceful ways or otherwise. And I'm looking at it, what? First of all, we will continue. What do you mean you will continue? We did it. We took the risk. We did the logistics. We did everything. We invited people. We set it up. We did the balloons. We did the banners. We did everything. We will continue. And then calling for violent uprising or something if they had done to listen to our demands. And I was shocked. And I just said something about differentiating. That's not what you shouldn't do that. You cannot do that. That's not what we would do. We don't promote that. We promote as a peaceful protest. But they already put us in one bucket. And then I looked at a transcript from the social media report from the conversation, and from the actually their website report, a summary of our conversation on the TV. What it said, they had a picture of the three of us, with me being listed third. You need to remember, this is our moment. This is our big moment. I don't remember the last time any political party brought 30,000 people into the streets, and it went so beautifully, peacefully, and powerfully. And then suddenly, I'm the third one. That's not about my ego, but I'm representing Platform for Progress that organized them. And they listed three of their names, three of our names. I'm listed third. And they're talking about this threat to take the government down by peaceful ways or otherwise. And I was just floored. I never said that. This is not their moment, it's our moment. And suddenly, you're one or you're the third one. So I made it on Monday when they invited me to other talks. So there was a Sunday, Monday through two media appearances on Monday. I became really forceful and basically said, let me get it straight. This is really what happened. And I was really sorry that, and I was sorry, and today I'm sorry, that when I invited everybody on the national TV, and I said, please bring your flags, please bring your jerseys, walk with your party banner, that's fine. It is okay, because this is citizens' protest. It's better they see all of these flags coming united together, it's fine. That's what I thought would happen, and that's what the support for the walk is. Come and walk with us. What they opted for, after days of deliberation, was not even middle ground, but a sneaky approach, and that was, let's not invite our people, let's not send our people there, because it's going to look even better for Platform for Progress. If we send our people there, it's even bigger event. No, let's not do that. But we will, in case it's really good, we have to get some credit. So let us show up, just the heads of the parties show up at the beginning of the walk, give statements to the media, and then you go away. And that way, basically they are saying, if it's good, we give them the support. Our people were there, that's why it was big. If it's not good, they got it covered. Basically said, oh, it's not our protest, it's Platform for Prayer. They flopped. We tried to help out by giving them support. And so now the whole country just erupted after. It erupted first time because of the protest, the second time because I was very forceful. I went on national TV, which I never am. And I basically said, listen, I had enough of this. I'm sorry. I don't want to. First of all, it's not a coalition. Because I had so many questions from our people saying, oh, are we in a coalition? We're in a coalition with them now? Why? Oh, if we wanted them, we would have been their members. That we don't want that. And I had to say that, to get the record straight, Platform for Progress organized these protests. Knowing I'm going to get some grief, but I hope that I would get more support. And that's really what happened. The grief came from the side, like, oh, wait a second, now this opposition got united and suddenly you're taking a part again. Whereas the other ones are saying, oh, God, it's wonderful that you got rid of those people. So Of course, we don't want to be seen as somebody who is preventing anything good to happen, but I want people to be truthful and honest with us, and don't calculate, just come here and support and help, and if you want to change the country, let's change it together. But I also forcefully said, no, we're not going to go into any coalition, we will go low, we have to prove ourselves. It's a new party. We need to know where we stand. We need to get strong before we can go into coalition. Because if we go into coalition now, they're going to suffocate us. They're going to do everything to stop our growth. And then they will take some of the energy for them. So I said, no coalition. But that doesn't mean that we cannot sit and talk and talk about ideas for the better future programs. Protest together if necessary, bring about the awareness of the need for change. But then we go to the elections with our own lists, and we can certainly prepare the coalition afterwards, see who gets most votes, and then we get together, and then we will already have a program to know what it is that we want to do, and so on. Anyway. And since then, since that Monday, so a big event was Saturday, and then Monday became a bigger Saturday. This huge success, a discord among the people who were there. And so we are riding that wave now, frequently in the media now, more about the discord than about the protest. And to me, it was the other way around. The protests were supposed to be important. So many people in the streets of small country, in small surround, give me a break. But now they want to talk about the split. I'm saying there's no split among us. I just want the truth to come out, that's all. We will find a way to, not a formal coalition, but find a way to talk, hopefully. Many media appearances. Interestingly enough, I got more attention after saying something negative than after announcing or seeing the results of a beautiful, peaceful walk. What is interesting is that we organized a press conference Friday, the day before the march, which happened on Saturday. Two people showed up. I honestly expected to see 6-7, old microphones. Just one person showed up and the other one was late. Which is really what the media can create and often create. The sense of, you're not important, nothing's going to happen, forget about protests. But then that day they showed up. They showed up for the protests, and some of them actually carried some of the scenes live. And they got shocked. And then after that I got sort of, I did give a lot of talks or interviews there. I took thousands of pictures. People who were walking said, oh, can we take a picture with you? And that was the cutest part of it. Everybody was trying to talk to me, say something, take a picture, whatever. That was beautiful. But in the end, I must say that I'm glad that the whole thing is went so well. Sorry what happened afterwards, that we had to straighten things out, but I'm glad that we did, because at some point they need to realize that they need to be truthful and honest with us. I don't like that politic as usual. If you have a friend, you have to be a friend, and you have to take each other, take care of each other, and protect each other's back. Don't let me second guess you every time we do something. So we'll see how that will develop. We are in the news. The first goal was to break the media blockade, as we call it. And that definitely happened. People have heard about us. They know who we are. We got a lot of people who became members after that. So a lot of intention. But interesting to me is that the media, I felt that. I was really disappointed, actually, with the media, because they are supposed to sense a dramatic shift in the moment. That was the moment. Didn't think that they needed to look at this as a business as usual, because at the same time, when we were having a press conference, the prime minister of the entity called Federation was being, he was the one who approved the purchase of respirators for COVID-19. Apparently there was a lot of corruption in that process. He was taken to the police station, interviewed, and decided that he needs to stay in a month, for 1 month in, I don't know, is it jail or whatever, while they were collecting all the evidence and deciding what they would do with him. All the newspapers were there, all the media outlets were there. So basically, the message is criminal behavior has a greater level of attention by the media than this process of rebuilding the country and trying to figure out where we want to go collectively. Honestly, I was really, really surprised by that and saddened by it, because it's not right. It's not good for Bosnia. It's not good for any of us. But anyway, going back to the positive side, it was unbelievable.
Well, tell two or three questions, but initially, just your thoughts as you're walking from the old town with these throngs of people behind you. Just what was running through your mind last Saturday as you organized this? It's been a long time coming for something like this.
So I don't know how long the route was. Honestly, you can't. How many kilometers, how many miles? Mm-hmm. Don't know. But we started from the center of the old town, walked through the old town, the main street, all the way to the parliament. And you were there, so you know what I'm talking about. Now, here's what they told us as we were walking. Somebody from our organization came to tell me that when we got to more than two-thirds of the overall conversation, the last people, the column, the end of the column was leaving the starting place. At that point, even all the way until then, I saw people, the square was full where we were gathering to start the protest walk. But that still wasn't 30,000. And so we started, I was at the head of the column, me and five other people. So I don't know what's happening in the back. We passed first through the streets, and all the shopkeepers and all their guests, they came out and lined up, and they were clapping as we were walking by. So that was a beautiful moment, seeing the support of the people, everybody. So it wasn't, there was no hostility of any kind, no bad words, nothing. A lot of people were waving, taking pictures. Sometimes we would be singing. It was an incredible moment to see that hope. And somebody put it nicely, saying, what's important is that there's hope. The most important thing is that there's hope, that the hope is still there. And it was, as we were walking, it was incredible sense of there's hope for this country. These people are a change, and they just need to be awakened. And seeing all the police that were looking at us with a gentle smile that their superiors wouldn't see, you know, they were just very supporting. And even though everybody was telling me that I should be careful, I need somebody walking with me, I felt safe the whole time. I do think that they had somebody, they had people in plain clothes as well, and they told us they would. I was sure that they had somebody who's close to me just to protect me in case something happens. So they didn't want anything to happen on their watch. But at the same time, when they called me to tell me on the phone, or no, somebody actually walked by from our organization to tell me that at that moment, we were, the end of the column was leaving the starting place. I felt so incredibly humble, really, by all those people who came out. The fact that what was important to me was the fact that we took the risk without being afraid of taking the risk. We were prepared for 100 people. The explanation, well, we organized it. People showed up. We were really prepared for the, because we knew 100 people would come, our people. And we were ready to explain that we tried to wake people up and they just don't want. But to go from that to 30,000, I mean, it's something tectonic that happened. And then you, at that point, you're humbled by the trust that people place in you, your organization. And the word trust is what keeps coming back to me. And I just love that sense that the fact that we were not afraid of any outcome in the Lydian it paid off, and that no other political party had the courage to do that. We were not the only ones or the first ones who thought of the process, but the only ones who actually had the guts to do it. And to receive that message 2/3 down the way, that the column just, the end of the column just leaving the starting place, was wow. I remember that moment. Also, I remember the moment when we were passing by the building where the presidents sit, three-member presidency resides, and we purposely slowed down a bit to go slowly in front of the place, and we all had whistles and everybody was shouting because it's a dysfunctional place. It was one of the places where against which you want to protest. But it was incredible. It was so happy and so, you know, when you're satisfied with something that, with all the shortcomings, that it was received so well. There was another thing, another bad thing that actually happened prior to the event. The number of bad articles about me, clearly fabricated, and pictures clearly doctored in somehow, and the head of one person and picture of another scene. Unbelievably bad things. That clearly never happened, but lies presented in the media as truths indicated to me that even the main party, the mainstream party, is afraid. It's probably heard how big the protest would be. So those attacks intensified, and that was fine. I don't respond to those. Then the big day happens. And after that, what I hear is this. We had two people who were tasked with being in charge of decisions that needed to be made on the spot. Mm-hmm. And one of them had the loudspeaker to basically send messages to the crowd, don't go on the street, and so on. Later on, I'm going to find out that one of those two, and our organizing committee had at least 45 people, but we tasked these two for keeping things in check, in line, the whole, throughout the walk. What we realized that later on, that one person, one of the two, one with a loudspeaker, was heard by the N1 media, reporter from N1 TV station, and N1 is a CNN affiliate, and they had Sarajevo's rocket missile buried. And he reported that people from Serbia are participating in the peaceful march, which basically means he's sending a message to the whole Bosnia that events, that these unrests are being organized by Serbia. Why would they say that? Because that guy with the loudspeaker had a Serbian accent. He is from Serbia. He came to Bosnia 3, 4, 5 years ago, fell in love with the Bosnian girl and married her, and he's in Sarajevo. He's a journalist. He's our member of our communication and marketing team. He's a member of our political advisory board, political council. It bothered people. For some reason, after that was reported, news about him leaked out everywhere. And that thing that Serbia is sending people to protest in Bosnia was just wildfire. The guy received threats via social media the whole day, enough of them so that he needed to go to the police and report them on Monday. Report that situation. I told the N1, because they invited me for an interview, I told him that that's what their reporter actually calls. National TV, I also explained when I was in another station, I said, no, that's absolutely not true. Nobody from Serbia was there. Nobody who reported, who checked with us and told us they are coming. Yes, that one guy is, but he is who he is. I remember living in Bosnia, living in Sarajevo, big defender of rights of Bosnia and Herzegovina. This is his name. This is who he is. This is what he does. That actually stopped the stories, but the original ones continued. But after that, after we discussed the situation on our political council, they discussed the, we did the pro and cons analysis of what happened during the protest. And somebody brought up the case and said, listen, we should have probably thought about it before. We knew that people could be sensitive to accent, Serbian accent in Bosnia and Herzegovina because of the war. Perhaps we should have asked somebody else to do it. And I said, no, I don't think so. I know that maybe somebody who thinks about risk would have done that. But to me, the fact that nobody in Platform for Purpose thought of it defines how broad-minded we are, how open-minded we are. It wasn't an issue at all. It doesn't bother me. I talk to the guy every day. He speaks Serbian language and I speak Bosnian. And we understand perfectly. It doesn't bother me. It's a sign how open-minded we are. It's a sign how close-minded they are. And I'm going to defend him and I'm going to do it every time. They need to get used to that we are the party for all citizens of this country. And I don't want to pull back based on the attack of the ignorant ones. I don't want to. And so that somehow stopped all of that, even though I know that he didn't feel completely comfortable with everything that happened afterwards. But to his credit, he never said anything. He didn't complain about anything. He just basically said, well, that's life.
Well, I've got two other ones, if you've got a moment. Just
sure.
Tell us a little bit about your remarks, that as much as you could say based on the circumstances there toward when you were down towards Parliament and those types of things. I've seen some video of you addressing the crowd and the participants. Can you tell us a little bit about what you said that day?
Oh, yeah, I was, what I explained in my prepared remarks was that I thanked the police and all the organizations that showed up. I thanked all the citizens. I explained why we were walking, all the sense of injustice, and then a list of 10 demands. And the demands were in three groups. One group was about elections. Election. We want elections to happen. We want election in Mostar, elections in Mostar to happen. We want to have electronic voting. We want all the decisions of all the courts to be actually implemented. Many of them are related to the electoral law. The second group of requests was related to the state of the country. And basically, we are just saying that all the decisions in the country should be made in the parliament or the institutions of the country, legislative institutions of the country, or executive branch. But what we have in Bosnia and Herzegovina is a parallel structure. The heads of three nationalistic parties, they are the ones who are actually making all the decisions. Then they tell their congressmen, congresswomen, senators how to vote, and then they vote. This is a parallel decision-making process, not a parliament, not a congress, but heads of parties. almost as in the United States, as if the head of the Republican Party and head of the Democratic Party would actually negotiate any law and then just tell others, just do it. And the international community actually helps with that because they are negotiating with them, even about the International Monetary Fund's money, whether we're going to get a new loan or not. Hey, wait a second. Why those three people? Why not people of Bosnia and Herzegovina through their representatives? What does that mean? Anyway, that was one of the conditions. And also what we want is to have salaries, all those representatives, to come down, representatives in the parliament of Bosnia-Herzegovina, parliament of Federation or Republika Srpska, but to increase the salaries of teachers, doctors, firefighters, policemen, women, but the also and put them in line with the private sector. And the final set of demands had to do with the corruption. We want zero tolerance for corruption. There's so many cases now where people got caught for using this extraordinary circumstances related to COVID-19 pandemic, where they were just stealing money left and right through purchases of medical equipment that were shady, to say the least. And final demand was that they check the diplomas of all the members of the parliament, because some of them actually bought a diploma and they are hiding that fact and need to be checked. Another thing that was so beautiful was that after they cut electricity, the power off, I couldn't continue, so I took the loudspeaker just to finish the conversation. But then the crowd just didn't want to go home. Police were telling them, you need to keep moving. They just didn't want to. They stepped there. They were there. They were asking me questions. And you feel like you're surrounded by hundreds of people and those thousands are coming toward you. They just want to continue the conversation. And that moment was still etched in my brain, of all those people who just wanted to say hi or just had another privilege. Those who wanted to have a moment to speak with you about something that's important to them. I took thousands of pictures with people who wanted to take a picture with me, and that was a sign that hope is really alive here.
And that's what I wanted to ask as a final question, is it cautious optimism that perhaps this is the spark that you've been looking for moving forward to get this all in front of people?
Right, so I can answer that question in so many ways. I heard after the protest walk said, this is not a spark anymore, this is a flame. And in the sense of where we are in the development of our movement, hopefully cleanse Bosnia and create an environment in which new can flourish, new ideas, new people, new way of thinking. On the other hand, we are still a spark. I look at that day as a spark, the day itself as a spark of and for the new future of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Because of 30,000 people, their presence in the streets simply indicate that this is a new day. So I tell people often, we need to start counting days. You know, the Saturday 30th of May 2020 is 0 day. The following Sunday is day one, and Monday day two, and so
you must be, I can tell, you're happy, you're proud.
Yeah, I'm really happy with what and how it happened. I wish that we didn't have to go through the bickering afterwards. But even everything has its own reason. Even that could be a positive thing. It helped us define ourselves in contrast to them. I did not want to be engulfed with them, not doing any of the work, but then taking credit. I just couldn't fathom that. But in the end, I think it all worked out for the best.